We're thinking this morning about the duties of the elder. Last week we thought about the importance of the elder. This morning we're thinking about the duties of the elder. If you went for a job interview and there was a panel of people there to assess all the various candidates, they would need to know what the job was about. They would need to know all the different roles, all the different aspects that the work entailed. And before we come in our church to look at the qualifications for the elders, we'll do that next week, God willing. We who, as it were, sit on the panel need to know what the job is, what we're picking the person to do. Does a leader in God's church, do they just do their own thing and follow their own idea, or do they just stand at the door and say hello to people? What does a leader in God's church do? Do they just give out the bread and the wine at communion time? What are they here for? Do they serve the tea and coffee after the service? Is that what it's about? No. We're going to see that this is a really important role in the church. But as we think about that, we also need to remember that the leaders in God's church paint a picture of what God is like. And so in thinking about the elders, we're learning to see what God is like. As we come to think this morning of the duties of the elder, we're taking a word that is used over and over again in our Bibles that gives us ideas of what the elder does. Name that's used over and over again. Paul writes, be shepherds over the flock of God. Peter says, be shepherds of God's flock. The picture of an elder is that of a shepherd. The word pastor means shepherd. And whilst I get Pastor Mark, we could also equally well have Pastor Robert and Pastor Colin, because they're shepherds in the church as well. I'm not the only pastor. The picture of a shepherd sums up the duties of the elder in the congregation. There's other duties that the elder has in presbytery and in synod, but we're thinking this morning of his duties in the congregation. These are duties that we require of the men that we elect. And so as we think about picking men for the eldership, we need to think, can they do this? Are they capable? And there's four things that we want to think of. And remember, as we look at each one is required of the elder as the shepherd of the flock, because it's seen in the great shepherd of the flock. So as you're listening this morning, be thinking, these are the qualifications, these are the duties that the elder is to do, because God does them for me. And he, the shepherd, the elder, is to bring God's care to me in the church. But I have a God who does this for me too. So allow this to point you to God and not simply to the elder. So first of all, the elder leads. The elder leads. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. We read from Psalm 23. The Eastern shepherd doesn't drive the sheep the way shepherds here often do. The Eastern shepherd, his sheep know his voice. He's out in front, he's calling them, and all the shepherds you see will be together, and they'll have all their flocks together. And then as one shepherd goes to take his sheep, he'll call his sheep, and they'll hear his voice, and they'll start to follow him. And that's what Jesus means in John 10:3 when he says that he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, that his sheep know his voice, and they follow him. Sheep need to be led. They need to be led and taken in the right direction. One of the phrases in the Old Testament that is used in several places to describe Israel is that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were all over the place. They were leaderless. And it was seen as a tragedy to be sheep without a shepherd. And to be a nation like that. And God doesn't want his church to be like that. Our great shepherd came and he led us. He led us heavenwards. We were lost and in danger, and he came to find us. and he came to lead us to safety. And the great shepherd has given to his church under shepherds to lead his church, to be his shepherds on the ground whilst he is in heaven. And the congregation is to look for men who are leaders, whom God has gifted with leadership. We need men who aren't afraid to lead. And how are they to lead? They're not to drive the sheep, but they're to lead like shepherds. They're to lead from the front. 1 Peter 5:3 says, "Be shepherds of God's flock." And then he describes how that is. He says, "Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Not lording it over those entrusted to you. Really significant description there. Not lording it over. Not thinking, well, here, I'm the boss. No, this is Christ's church. Christ has entrusted people to the elders. That's something elders need to remember. Christ has entrusted his precious blood-bought people to them. They're going to have to give an account to the chief shepherd of how they have ruled in his blood-bought flock. Have they been bullies? Have they foisted their own opinions on people? Peter tells us that they're to lead by being examples to the flock. So you're looking for elders who will lead by example. Men whose lives are a pattern of godliness in what they say and do. A man who is an example in the way he is with people. You look at and say, yeah, that's a good example for me to follow as a Christian. The way he does his work, the way he relates to people in his work, the way he runs his home, the way he deals with things inside the church and outside the church, the way he looks after his finances. A man who is an example of godliness in all sorts of areas. A man that baby Christians could look at and think, yes, that's somebody in whose footsteps I could safely follow. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow Christ." What courageous words to say to somebody, "Follow me. Follow my example." An elder needs to be someone that people could follow their example. An elder, if he is to lead, as well as leading by example, must also have vision. The shepherd needs to know where the flock needs to go. And we need elders who, sheep don't want a shepherd who leads them into blind alleys and dark valleys where there is no grass, or where the water is stagnant, or the streams are polluted, or out into grassless wastes. They need a shepherd who sees the terrain, who knows the terrain, and who can take them to streams of pure water, who can take them into safe places, who sees danger and knows to lead them away from it. Likewise, the shepherd needs to be thinking ahead and thinking, where do the sheep need to be going? If we take them to grass here, can they get to grass the next place where there's grass safely? Can they get there before they run out of energy? Can they get there before they run out of energy? Is there water en route? Likewise, the elder in the church needs to know where the church should be going. Needs to be looking ahead and thinking, what's next? How do we plan for that? So we want men who have vision, men who lead with example or by example, men who are prepared to go forward and who are prepared to change when necessary. One of the problems in church life often is that church has become stuck doing things, and the reason for doing it is they've always done it that way. And elders need to be men who will look at Scripture and say, Why is it we're doing this? Is there another way we can do it that Scripture allows us to do it? The elder is to lead. The elder is to lead. And the elder, secondly, is to feed. The elder feeds. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Psalm 23 tells us. The shepherd's responsibility is to see that the flock is well fed. The great shepherd, Christ himself, sees that his people are well fed. This morning I was reading from John 6 in my own Bible reading, and he talks there about being the bread of life. The picture there is of God feeding his people. In the book of Exodus, God fed his people with manna from heaven. All of this being pictures of a God who provides food for his people. In John 4, Jesus speaks of being living water, and those who come to him will not go thirsty. He's a God who leads his people and a God who feeds his people. And if the great shepherd is like that, his under-shepherds, his elders, need to be like that. The elder, it's not just the minister's task and responsibility. The elder is to be involved in feeding the people. Doesn't necessarily mean they all have to be up at the front here preaching. There are different ways to ensure that the flock is fed and well fed. One of the things that the elders do when we meet together at the end of a year to review the year is we look at the preaching. And they look at the things that have been covered. And they look at the type of preaching and is it feeding the people? One of the great tragedies is that elders don't do that at times. And the sermons fly over people's heads. The sermons are too simple. The sermons aren't helpful. The sermons aren't understandable. And the elders need to be listening to the minister's sermon and checking, is this true? Is this right? Is this helpful? Is this balanced? Is this bite-sized? One of the things that happens when I look back over some of my older sermons, I look at it and think, whoa, too much in there. The elder needs to be coming and saying to the minister, a little bit less on the plate or a little bit more on the plate. They need to be listening and thinking, is this right for the people here? Is this practical? Is the application balanced and fair? No minister should be above the advice of his elders. The elders are to make sure the people are fed. And there are other ways that the elders can ensure that the people are fed. They talk to members about spiritual things, not just about weather or work or the events of the week. They talk with you about spiritual things. They bring passages of Scripture to bear. They say, here's something that I found helpful. And they open up the Bible and they say to you, here's what I found helpful in similar circumstances. Just this week I was talking to Declan and he was referring and to when he came into membership here. And William Lynch said, I have a verse that I want to share with you. Christ speaking to his disciples and saying, I will never leave you or forsake you. And Declan was saying how that verse has stuck with him. That's what an elder does. He brings God's word to bear in circumstances. And he shares it with people. He's seeking to feed the sheep. The elder feeds the flock in this way. He feeds them when he visits, and when he gives biblical advice, when he encourages, when he advises, when he helps, when he challenges, when he rebukes from God's word. Another way elders can feed God's people is perhaps they will take a service occasionally. Perhaps they'll lead the Bible study. Perhaps they might teach in the Sunday school. There are different ways of feeding God's people. But here is a vital aspect of the work. And so as we think of elders, we need to think, are there men here who have the ability to bring Scripture to bear on circumstances in life, to open it up and to say, here's something that is I've found helpful and that you may find helpful too. Men who are accurate in handling Scripture. They don't take it and bend it to suit their own ends. Men who will see that the flock is fed. The elder feeds. Thirdly, the elder protects. The elder protects. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? For you are with me. The great shepherd walks with his people. The great shepherd protects his people. The sheep are vulnerable. And the great shepherd is a shepherd who protects. And he expects his under shepherds to protect as well. Acts 20:29, Paul says this, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. The great shepherd is one who came and protected us. He gave his life. He rescued us from sin, from Satan, from hell. He came to seek and to save the lost. What a great thing it is to have been rescued. And Christ still does this. He guards his people. And he has in his employment under shepherds to be on the ground to protect his people in the congregations that he has placed his people in. Sheep still need protection from outside dangers. Sheep need protection from poisonous grasses, from weeds, from sickness, from wounds. And it's no different with Christ's sheep. Let me just point out from Acts 20 some areas in which the sheep need guarded. They need to be warned of harmful teaching. They need to be warned about harmful teaching. Paul is concerned in Acts 20 about those who will come in and who will distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard, he says. Paul was often concerned about false teachers. We're studying Galatians in the Bible study. And he spends the whole letter fighting against false teaching that's threatening to tear the church apart. He's concerned because error comes in. And there are branches of Christianity that have harmful teaching that cause pain and distress and doubt. For example, prosperity gospel teaching, where if you truly trust God, it is said that you will be healthy and wealthy and that nothing will go wrong in your life. Well then, we must be the least trusting fellowship in the face of the earth, because everything seems to go wrong here. And if it was down to, if that was true, then we would be filled with doubt. We'd be filled with despair. We would think God was a cruel God for dumping all this on us. But we would not just doubt God, we would doubt ourselves. But that's not what the Bible teaches. There are churches that have been in this town that have taught that. There have been people who have come and worshipped with us who've believed that. There was one man once who came and he used to pray that way in the prayer meetings. And we had to take him aside and talk to him and say, this isn't what the Bible teaches. Your elders had to guard the flock. If that teaching had got in here, it would have caused all sorts of pain, wouldn't it? Imagine anything more cruel than to say to Robert and Judith, well, you see, this has happened to you because you've doubted God. Nonsense. Nonsense. Difficulty, the Bible shows us, is often an opportunity for a display of God's glory, for the deepening of our trust, for a display of the trust and the faith of God's people to the watching world. And so elders need to guard the flock against harmful teaching that can come in. The flock needs to be guarded too from wolves, from doctrinal wolves, people who want to join the church, who have their own ideas, who will bring division and turmoil and seek to get a little following for themselves. Or from moral wolves, people who advocate unacceptable moral standards and who would say, well, this is okay for a Christian to do. It's okay for a Christian to behave this way. It's okay for a Christian to have sex outside of marriage. It's okay for a Christian to break the Sabbath day. It's okay for a Christian just to divorce willy-nilly and be married and keep on going on a cycle. It's okay. No, it's not okay. And there are places where churches have capitulated to the pressure of society. The church needs its elders to protect the church from such wolves that would come in the church. Or the elders are to keep dangerous people out of the church, or to ensure that they cause no danger. The third area where the elders need to exercise their role as protectors of the flock, they need to rescue sheep from trouble. Sheep need help with their own illnesses. And Christians need help with their own spiritual illnesses. When you go to the doctor, you don't want someone who'll tell you that you're fine if you're not fine. You want someone who'll tell you what the problem is and who will seek to apply the remedy, no matter the cost. And elders are to act as spiritual doctors. The elder is to bring spiritual medicine and healing to God's people. This sometimes requires great courage. Somebody doesn't want to admit that what they're doing is wrong. Somebody has become lax in attending to church. And the elders perhaps have to go along and speak to them and to challenge them and to seek to encourage them, to draw them back, or to speak to them, to challenge them about their sin. The elders, for the good of the person, need to do that. The elders, for the good of the flock, need to do that. The elders, if we tolerate something in one person, then others start to think that's okay. Or our children start to say, well, that form of behaviour is okay. And so gently and with wisdom and skill, the elders need to seek to rescue sheep that are straying. That requires not just courage, it requires sacrifice. We're told that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It costs to care. There will be visits that the elders will have to make that will cost them a long time in prayer and thinking. It will drain their resources, their emotional, their spiritual resources. But a good shepherd is willing to endure that for the sake of the sheep. Why? Because he's experienced it for himself. He has a shepherd who stops at nothing to care for him. And if you're a Christian this morning, if you're a sheep, you have a shepherd who cares for you. A great shepherd who stopped at nothing for your protection. And perhaps you need reminded of that this morning, that the shepherd will stop at nothing for your care. But he calls his under-shepherds to do the same, to be sacrificial in their care for their people. The elder sees someone doing something and sees the damage that it's doing to them or to others. He's going to have to step in and seek to help. So the elder leads, the elder feeds, the elder protects, and then fourthly, the elder loves. The elder loves. Why does the shepherd do all this? Because he cares for the sheep. He cares for them. Whenever you read Psalm 23, it's full of the shepherd's love and care. It speaks of his care the whole way through, right from the opening lines. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. It speaks of his care, taking his people to green pastures and to quiet waters. It speaks of him restoring their souls, of his guarding in the difficult places in life, of his spreading a table, of that welcome as the imagery changes, I believe, as it changes towards the end of a table being set and spread, and God as a host feeding his people in the midst of the enemies. There's the elder feeding the people in this difficult, sin-filled world. He ensures they're fed and protected. He anoints my head with oil. A picture of somebody welcoming somebody else into their home and greeting them. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Here is the believer's confidence in the care and the love of their shepherd. We see Paul at Ephesus as he loves the Ephesian people. His great love and compassion are clear as he leaves them. Verse 19, he says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. Anything that would have been helpful, he has preached to them. Verse 27, he says, I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Verse 31, be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Verse 36, when he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Do you see their love for him? They loved Paul because he cared for them so much. Paul sometimes gets the name for being strong-willed, sometimes even harsh with people. But he does that because he loves them. And these people here at Ephesus see that. They see that he cares deeply for them at every turn. And this is what drives the elder. His love and compassion for the people. So as we think of electing elders, we want men who will lead according to God's word. Men who will feed people with God's word. Men who will protect people from those who would seek to take them away from God's word or from harmful ways in which they are straying from God's word. He will protect them. And he will do it because he loves them. And why does he love them? Verse 28 of Acts 20. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. It's God's church. And the elder loves the church. And he loves the people because his Savior loves the people. He visits the people because his Savior loves those people. He prays with those people and for those people because his Savior loves those people. He encourages, he challenges, he rebukes, he leads, he feeds, he protects because he loves the people, because his Savior loves those people. And so as we look for elders, we need to look for is for men who love Jesus. And who love what Jesus gave himself for. He gave himself for others. A man who doesn't see church simply as something that he comes to get a message from God for himself, but who sees the church as a community of Christ's people that he cares about. These are the duties then of the elder. We need to look for men who will carry out these tasks, who will seek to lead and feed and protect and love. And as God gives us men who will do that, remember that as they go about their task, they're seeking to do it because they love you and because they care for Christ and his church. Let's pray that God will guide us to these men. And as we finish, remember that everything that we've talked about in the elder is seen in the great shepherd. And so this week, as you go about your daily activities, remember that as well as God giving elders to the church, you have the great shepherd who carries the lambs in his arms, who carries them close to his heart, and who gently leads those that have young. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we hear this description of what you look for in your leaders. We pray, Lord God, that you would be pleased to grant us these sorts of men. Father, we pray that you would lead us to the men that you have been training and shaping for these roles. We thank you for Robert and Colin and William Lynch, who have been appointed by Presbytery for this task. And Lord, we thank you for how they have fulfilled these roles. And Father, we pray that as we seek to move forward to this next step in our life as a congregation, that you would be pleased to lead us to the men that you have been training and bringing up for this task. Father, we pray that you would help those who are elders to lead, to feed, to protect, and to love. And Father, we thank you that we have a great shepherd who does these things for us. We thank you that we know his leading, his guiding, his protecting, and his love. And we thank you that he gives men on the ground to be his leaders, to be his guides, his providers of food for his people, and his means of protection for his flock, and ones to be his display of love for his people. We thank you that he does that. Father, we pray that we would rejoice in the shepherd's care and provision. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.